The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions, and sometimes there are answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, wearing Red Wings red, from downtown Detroit, Michigan, the College for Creative Studies, it's Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. Pleasure to lose by one goal, as
again.
Always. That's
and
what I was going to say.
And again, and again.
And again, and again, and again. I believe we have the greatest shot on goal versus actual goal score differential in the history of the Hockey League.
It's getting embarrassing.
If we had 49 shots on goal the other night and zero goals, I don't even know how that...
I have no idea.
I don't get it either.
I'm still rolling my eyes. So.
Yeah, sorry. Did you watch last night?
No, I was working.
Oh, okay.
So. Oh, God. It's okay. But I was listening to it on the radio. I'm like, oh, crud. This can't be happening.
Yeah. They always play the you know, the other team scoring in the highlights. And I'm like, I don't need to hear that, you know. Do not need to hear it at all. To your right, as I'm sure you can see, Dave, it's Professor Jim Tubbs from Religious Studies.
Howdy.
Howdy. How's Seattle this time of year?
Seattle was rainy last weekend, but nice.
Shocking.
Some of us like rain.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you would have to.
You better love it to live out there.
But it wasn't pouring, right? It was probably misty.
No, yeah. Well, it was pouring a little bit, but, you know, it was just...
Not like it does here.
No, not like it does here.
Cats and dogs, you mean.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
But it was still nice to be, you know, on the water, get good seafood.
Yeah, that's true.
See the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Very cool. Professor Diane Manica from Education was with us last week. She was not... In Seattle.
No, I wasn't. But I can tell you that we now have a resort at Reno Hall. We have Reno River flowing right down Campus Drive.
Oh, gosh.
What happened?
Because of the water main break.
Two water line breaks.
Ooh,
I know. And did you notice that we got a notification about
the
10
dorms.
Days after it happened?
No.
But we do know that certain buildings have elevators out every time they're out.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It is true.
And some of the dorms were affected, right? Was either Holden or Schiphol or...
They have never said anything at all about the water. I am drinking no water.
I'm drinking lots of water here.
Go straight to gin.
Thank God, for your martini bar, Diane.
Oh, I know. Well, it's been the savior. But it is nice since we have a resort to have a martini bar.
What do you use for a mixer?
Daiquiris or Mai Tais?
Anyway, we ford the river every day to get to work.
How very pioneering.
Of course, you know,
you.
I do have to remind everybody we're at the south end of campus, because that happens all the time.
Oh, yeah. South end.
Yeah.
South end.
We're just ignored.
Versus north
end.
Oh, my gosh. Professor Jason Roach, do you think, from Communication Studies, that there is a war brewing between the south and the north ends of campus?
It's a great disturbance.
The ones that have a resort versus us, you know,
that's
don't.
Right. We are at our last resort, I think, trying to get some help. But it might make a good varsity news article.
Oh, not
to find
idea.
Out not what's going on.
I think skating parties on your little lake.
I do know that it is a city concern.
Of course.
They have to fix the water mains and that we are low on the totem pole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that the upper administration, let's say Dr. Garibaldi, is counting down the days, which are only a few, till our next visit day for prospective students. So that'll be a nice. That
I
waterfall
think it should
will
center
be...
right down at Reno River.
Because what would make you want
at
to go
resort.
To campus more.
Than a
indoor canoe.
Yes.
Our own version of crew. Crew Detroit style.
We could actually just put out some of those concrete canoes from engineering
and say it's part of our
grand plan.
It's our test river.
Yeah.
Can we get Benvenuto over there with some thermite or something?
Well, he'll lock it up hardcore if you ask him.
Set it on fire, follow space.
A solution seen from outer space.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they were out there again today. What can I say? I was watching from the main office in chemistry.
Blowing things
where
up.
It was warm and, not close to the exploding metals.
When do they do
metals.
This?
What?
Every
do
Friday they explode
Every
things?
Friday, 1 o'clock, out in front of biology. Yep.
They blow something up.
They blow something up.
Outstanding.
Thermite tomorrow, they call themselves.
I wonder if they could have an impact on Reno River.
Well, that was what I was suggesting.
You know, I don't know.
Damn it up.
I don't know. We have Alex Hitchell here from College of Liberal Arts and Education, their web guru. Any water main problems where you are?
No.
Mercifully so.
any heat where you are.
I can't say, however, that the building is going through in every room its own version of menopause.
Oh, okay.
I am so going to steal that when I teach.
It's a good analogy.
That's such a great description.
It is.
A
good
analogy. And yes. We get emails that say, please don't try to adjust the temperature by opening the windows. And I'm like, what are we supposed to use? Harsh language?
No fans.
Estrogen
and, of course,
therapy.
Ours are no heaters.
Exactly.
Yeah, apparently.
Hormone
so
therapy.
So suffer.
Keeps you cool.
Yeah. So, no, where you are is particularly warm? Are you near, like, a server farm or something? You know, I don't know.
She's right above us.
Oh, is she? Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. I haven't been to your office yet, so. Yeah, it's that's nice. And if you guys want to build some sort of, like, extremely long dryer vent that goes to my office where it's 15 degrees Celsius right now, that would be nice. I could take some of this.
You don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I know. It's cold. It's cold, Jason.
It's cold.
Okay, would you translate, please?
Mind you, Matt does not age. Okay?
He's well-preserved because of the 15 degrees Celsius.
It's Ted Williams all over again. Oh my
I thought
God.
The C after the degree stood for Canadian.
Wait a minute.
Well, that too.
Professor Dan Maju is here from the First Organization. I feel like I haven't seen you in a long time.
I just saw you last week.
I know.
He hasn't seen me
it's
in a long
feeling.
Time. Actually.
If it helps, I can call you every night.
Or show up on his doorstep.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll send you a text every night.
Why not tell me the next time you're sitting at the bar at Vincetta Garage? I'll take the 2-minute walk up and, you know, meet you there. We'll have a pint.
Every time I want to go to Vincetta Garage, this is how it goes. Ring, ring. Hello, Vincetta Garage. How long a wait is it? 2 hours. Okay, thanks. Bye.
That's about it.
Somewhere else.
I know some people, Dan.
You guys went there for lunch. Is that right? Did you not have
lunch? Is good.
Yeah. You don't have to
lunch
wait
is manageable.
As long?
Yeah.
Well, I'd say it's got the red coat syndrome. So everybody knows red coat's the best burger in Metro Detroit. If you show up at 11, you get seated immediately.
If you show up at 11:01,
you're waiting too long.
I'm talking about red coat.
I got another place for you to try. So
and with that, it's time for our first break.
Exactly. Let's introduce Professor Beth Oljar from Philosophy, our own Briggs Building Dungeon Rat.
And proud of it.
And let's talk like this style. This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166 or send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. It's so warm in Briggs, the envelopes open themselves.
It is
steam
getting a little
themselves.
Warm
it's
in here.
This part, the underground part of Briggs, it's warm.
Well, this
but
is
that
garden level.
Doesn't
I
make sense.
Garden pit level.
No, we're closer to hell, is what it is.
We have some questions we are finishing up. Actually, we only did about half of them from Amber Hubley of San Diego, California, and we should continue right on into them. They are all over the map. What was Mamie Eisenhower's real first name, given first name?
Margaret.
Was not Margaret.
Mary?
It was Mary, yes. That's a good guess. With a nickname like Mamie, do other people get nicknamed Mamie? With you know
the Mames.
Somebody couldn't say if there was a small child in her orbit who couldn't say Mary and it came out Mamie. Yes.
I know this very, very well because my second son, his name is Lorenzo. We almost always call him Enzo, and the 1.5-year-old is calling him Chacho. And Enzo comes up to me one day and, like, you know, in private talking to his parent, Dad, I don't really like that nickname. I'm like, well, you're probably going to be called that for the rest of your life now. So
deal with it.
Get used to it.
Sorry. It sounds like a Taco Bell menu item.
It does. It does.
Cha-cha!
I had a friend named Mary when I was little and I called her Mimi.
Mimi. Okay. So. Okay. What inventor is credited with 535 U.S. patents, second only to Edison, upon his death in 1991?
Oh, no.
I'm not familiar with the name specifically. Yes, he died in 1991, second only to Edison, 535 patents.
What year did he die?
1991.
Whoever was the head of Ronco?
No.
Ron Popeil.
Part of Hewlett Packard.
No,
or
I'm thinking Kodak.
First Kodak. Name.
Edwin Land?
Yes, it was Edwin Land. I was a first name. He was a former host of this show, Edwin. Yep, that's right.
Well
so
done,
it was
Dave.
In the area of photography. Yep,
well
that's done. Right. How many throwing events are there in the modern decathlon?
Three. Hammer.
What are they?
Discus, javelin, shot put.
The hammer is not one of those three. Yes, that's correct.
Oh, it isn't?
Well done, Beth.
I don't watch it.
Oh, why is the hammer thrown?
She's such an.
How many things will
woman.
Be thrown during the Winter Olympics?
I love Olympics, actually.
Is that a real question?
No.
All right.
Oh, not at all. What was the original name of Mile High Stadium in Denver, which of course doesn't actually exist anymore? They have something new.
The Nosebleed
Invesco
Stadium?
Field at Mile High.
Invesco at Mile High. Oh. That's right. Mm.
That's not the original, though. The original was probably
1948, it says here. Had a very interesting name.
Rocky Stadium?
Rocky Mountain Stadium?
No, that's a good way
to
do it.
Colorado?
It was called Bears Stadium. And since there's no explanation given, I'm just guessing because there were some bears around.
That could be.
Okay,
in
sure.
In the Rockies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep, you got it. Little side note, by the way, if you check out your internets and your interwebs, the Chicago Cubs are no longer one of the baseball teams that does not have a mascot. They are going to have a mascot starting this fall.
That's right.
And he is horrible looking and terrifying and creepy. So the internet has already grabbed hold of that and won't let go. So check it out. It's pretty interesting. It is a cub. It is a pantsless bear wearing a jersey. And he has a kind of horrifying creeper smile.
Okay, great.
Yep. There you go. What company?
Kids love him, by the way.
Oh, they love him. His name is going to be Clark.
Clark the cub.
Yep.
Clark the cub.
Alex has already got the deets.
Clark the pantsless bear cub.
What company holds the ticker symbol capital FUN? Fun. On the New York Stock Exchange.
Chuck E. Cheese?
Not Chuck E. Cheese, but you're in the right wheelhouse.
Disney World?
Not Disney World.
Disneyland?
No.
No, it's all under that would all be under Disney, I think.
The company
the
name
stock.
Would start with an I mean usually it's the first few letters of the company.
And I believe it's more the concept of this company actually, not the first three letters of the company.
Oh,
could it
like
be Milton Six Bradley
Flags?
Or something?
Not Milton Parker Bradley, Brothers? Not Six Flags,
kind
but
of a, no.
It's something along the lines of Six Flags.
That is correct.
Cedar Point.
Cedar Fair. Wow. Yes, absolutely.
Huh. Well, I can think of.
I didn't even know it was
in
publicly
Ohio
traded.
That I've never been to.
Sandusky, well, Ohio.
Even though I know you're not originally from this area, Beth, I once did see someone wearing a T-shirt that was very oversimplifying with regard to its regional understanding, as in, here's Detroit and here's the rest of Michigan, and everything below the state line of Michigan was the way to get to Cedar Point. Pretty much every Detroiter would call Northern Ohio that. So, anywho. How many times, according to topology, can you actually fold a regular piece of paper in half?
Seven.
Six.
Seven is the answer, yes.
I thought they couldn't do seven,
but they could do six. All right.
Something like that?
Yeah,
I thought nine is the one that's basically theoretically
how large
possible,
is she to fit?
I don't know. That's
no, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Matter.
That's
standard.
That's the
it
whole
was
thing.
Like 8.5 by 11. That's
even though even I've heard that on a huge sheet, you can only fold
they,
it
they
seven
did it on
times.
Mythbusters. Right. They literally had a sheet of paper the size of like a football field.
That's right.
They
I remember.
Couldn't do it.
So they couldn't fold it more than seven times.
Nope. Couldn't do it.
Yep. Pretty interesting. What is known as, quote, the champagne of beer?
Oh, please. Budweiser.
It is
Miller,
not.
Miller Highlights. Champagne of bottled beer.
It's the Highlights.
I remember that. That's how they used to advertise it. I have had the champagne of hard ciders, though.
What's that?
Ooh, it's a diamond white. It's made in Great Britain.
Diamond white.
I like
it
already.
But it's very good.
I'm a big fan of cider. The names. Oh, we're going to have to wait for those names while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Live on tape from my dining room, the University of Detroit Mercy presents.
Unplugged.
If we don't get this on the air pretty soon, we'll be too far in the bag to do
I'll
it.
I'll tell you, this is amazing. Yes, the world tour continues and didn't get any farther than this. So.
Hey, this is a great place to be.
Anyway, the University of Detroit Mercy prevents Asa from. As if they could. Try as hard as they might.
Successive generations of administrations have tried.
Tried, and they failed.
We're
that's
still
right.
Here, and they're gone. What were their names?
I don't know. What are their names now? Who cares?
And we are back with continuing questions from Amber Hubley of San Diego, California. I'm thinking if we don't finish these before our next show, that will be the longest that a set of questions has ever been on the program.
Oh my goodness.
What are the names of the three villains played by Terrence Stamp, Sarah Douglas, and Jack O'Halloran in Superman 2?
General Zod.
Zod.
Lex Luthor.
Not Lex Luthor.
It's his wife and brother or something.
No. It's... Oh, I can see him.
I don't remember. I can picture them.
I never saw this one.
Was Ursa? Ursa was the name of the woman. That's right.
And hold on.
Who's the big guy with the beard?
I'm trying to think right about now.
Big guy with the beard was not his name.
Santa? different big guy.
What have you been doing?
Yeah, it's Nan was his name.
N-O-N. You're an amazing memory.
Named Indian bread. I mean, how could you forget?
Reno River.
Where would one find this fictional character?
A book.
Abe Froman.
In a book.
Oh, Abe Froman. Oh,
the movie.
Matt. Ferris Bueller's Day.
Thank you.
Yeah, off.
Yeah.
What is he?
He was the principal.
No, he was. No. He was the Sausage King. Was
the Sausage King. You're right.
The Sausage King.
Right. He went into the restaurant and he pretended to be Abe Froman.
My name's
and
Abe Froman.
Tried to take his reservation.
Exactly.
Awesome. Very good memory, gentlemen. Yeah. Speaking of movies, in what movie do we get this quote? What we do in life echoes in eternity.
Oh.
What is your name? You can call me
Bond. James Bond.
Any ideas?
Man, that sounds like something.
Let's see. I'm thinking Russell Crowe played the character.
Oh, Gladiator.
Yes, it's Gladiator.
Oh wow!
Because I was gonna say that sounds like a fortune cookie read on like Christmas. Like that.
I'm not sure what I feel about that movie, but I'll get back to you.
Oh, but it has the "Are you not entertained?"
Mm-hmm. And it's also got a wonderful soundtrack.
Yeah, it does. Oh. It does. How many time zones are there in the country of Russia? Now, it doesn't say this, but I'm feeling strong
that
this has got to be the greatest number of any single entity.
I think it's 10 or 11.
It's 11.
It's
11.
Well, but is that actually Russia or the former Soviet Union?
I believe it's the country of Russia, just Russia on its own.
That's a street turn in another
zone. Really,
Russia itself goes all the way over to Vladivostok and the Kamchatka Peninsula.
That's right.
And it's so far north that it might not be that many miles, but it's that many degrees.
Yeah.
I'm just having some sort of Saturday Night Live style sketch played out in my mind where I grew up, of course, in the 80s where we only had three channels on TV and you'd hear about everything being whatever in the Eastern time zone and then whatever Central and Mountain. And think about having to list the other 10 every single time.
If you lived in Vladivostok and had family in like St. Petersburg, you know, finding a time to call would be kind of hard.
Would be quite difficult.
It took my relatives at least 3 years to figure out that Detroit was in the Eastern time zone. Detroit. No matter how many times I told them, they were like, no, it's Central. I'm like, I'm living here. You think I don't trust me when I tell you?
Also, what blew my mind, when we drove to Nashville for the holidays, I didn't know Nashville was in the other time zone.
Yeah, it is. It's far enough.
In Arizona.
I didn't know that.
Pacific and something.
Yes.
That's right.
I mean, because they don't
follow daylight savings.
Well, they don't do daylight savings time. So.
What was the ultimate destination of people utilizing the Underground Railroad?
Canada.
Yeah. Canada.
Oh, yes. Canada.
Yes. It goes south.
It wasn't around back then.
A place that didn't have the fugitive slave law.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What Western star rode a horse that was named Buttermilk? Mm.
That was Roy Rogers.
Pat Buttram? Nope.
Tom Mix?
Nope. Two names.
Gene
first
Autry?
And last name. D.E. are the initials.
Don Edwards.
Dale Evans.
Dale
Evans and her lovely horse, Buttermilk.
Yes. Buttermilk.
There you go. Last question from Amber Hubley. Great set of questions, Amber. Please send more.
Indeed.
What do the initials LL stand for in L.L. Bean?
Oh, I thought she was going to say LL Cool J.
Lewis.
Leon, Larry.
Leon.
It's Leon is part of it, yes.
Leonwood.
No. Leonwood is what it stands for.
Wow. Leonwood for you.
No wonder it's LLB.
Was she the founder?
I get the catalog.
Yes, LL.
That's Leon, my
Leonwood. So what does LL stand for in LL Cool J?
DC.
Lady Lover.
Ladies
Lover. Ladies Love, all right.
Sure. Makes perfect sense.
The ladies, man.
Profs, we have some questions here from UDM student Carrick Jones. He does play-by-play for Detroit Titan basketball on UDM CST radio. Two very, very interesting UDM/U of D basketball history questions. What obscure team did the University of Detroit lose to in a basketball game in 1906? Was it Flint School for the Deaf, the Detroit Police Team, or a Polish seminary?
A Polish seminary.
It was a Polish seminary. Yeah, absolutely, it was.
Those guys can ball.
Absolutely.
They got a vent somehow.
Was it St. Cyril and Methodius?
Probably.
Does he give any like history?
The flying elbows from those
no
guys?
No other kind of history that's supplied, unfortunately. Oh, but
and the cassocks pressing the ball forward.
He had one more question that any red-blooded Titans fan would know immediately the answer to, because this is definitely my era. I had the pleasure as a student here to watch UDM's men's basketball all-time leading scorer. Who was that?
Rashad Phillips.
Absolutely. It was Rashad Phillips. Well done, Professor Oljar. And everyone. Dear profs, I was so stoked to hear my questions about the 84 World Series on a recent episode. However, I felt bad in that not all of the professors sounded as enthused about a set of questions involving sports.
No, just say that.
No.
As a result,
we're not staring at you, Beth. Tom Cruise movies, and then we, you know.
As a result, I've come up with 10 non-sports questions. That's the
category. All about physics.
And they vary from politics to government to entertainment. Okay. Please enjoy Andrew Wellman of Gulfport, Florida.
We will enjoy you, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew. Very, very
And we're
much.
Working on a plan to get Alan Trammell into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, we are. All right, let's see what we got here. 36 women have served as state governor in United States history. Name the only female state governor who passed away while in office.
Oh. Ann Richards in Texas.
No. She was out of office. That's a reasonable guess. I can tell you that this happened when she was the age of 41, 7th of May, 1968.
Wow.
This is a wonderful piece of trivia. I like this a lot. Mm-hmm.
Can you give us a region of the country?
It is in the South.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She ran for office in 1966 after her husband was unable to run for re-election due to Alabama's constitutional...
The second Wallace. I mean, no, the first, Lurline.
Lurline Wallace. Yeah, Lurline. Yes, ah, absolutely. Yes. Wow. Because her husband could not run again.
That's right.
George Wallace, yes.
Then he married again and had her run for governor.
How did she pass?
Did he really?
Cancer.
She had cancer at age of 41, yeah.
He married again and had his new wife run?
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable.
It's
unbelievable.
What a piece of work.
And nobody saw through that? Seriously?
A lot of people probably did.
They were elected.
Other people like to think of it as franchising, that's all. Yeah.
think Perone tried to do something similar.
During Franklin Pierce's 1853 inauguration ceremony as the 14th president of the United States, he made a particular procedural decision which no other president before or since made. What was it?
Was it getting sworn in on non-Bible?
That is exactly correct. He was sworn in on a law textbook. Mm. His exact reason for doing this has never
law
been
for
confirmed.
Dummies. Oh.
Some sources claim Hoover, who was a Quaker, also affirmed the oath rather than swearing to it, but newsreel footage indicates otherwise. So basically, it was not technically an oath. It was just sort of a, what the heck, I promise.
I will.
Sure. Hoover was a Quaker. I never knew that.
Yep.
So Nixon.
Yeah. Remember Friends?
Friends. They were friends. February 15th, 1933. President-elect Franklin D. Roosevelt was delivering an outdoor speech in Miami, Florida, when a man named Giuseppe Zangara fired 5 shots at him. One bullet struck Chicago Mayor Anton Cermak. Cermak died from the wound 19 days later on March 6th. How long did it then take state of Florida to indict Zangara, allow him to plead guilty, sentence him to death, and execute him?
Probably 2 days.
I'm going to give you this
Florida
one.
14 days.
It was 14 days.
Wow.
He died in the electric chair March 20th. Less than 5 weeks after the shooting, his last words were reported to be, "Just push the button."
Woo!
Talk about defiant.
I believe swift justice is the answer.
Why do I get the
feeling
they have like a drive-through service? Yeah, I'd like to supersize my electrocution, please?
This guy in Ohio, it almost took him that long to die.
Yeah.
In an annual Gallup poll, Hillary Clinton was named the woman most admired by Americans a total of 17 times over 20 years between 1993 and 2012. Who was named the most admired woman in those other 3 years.
Monica
Lewinsky. Oprah Winfrey.
Mother Teresa.
Okay, Mother Teresa won the poll in 1995 and 1996. The other person was 2001. What? Don't think too hard.
Laura Bush?
Laura Bush?
Laura Bush. Yes, it was Laura Bush. Wow. A very nice person from what I hear.
But
just made bad choices.
She's not Hillary Clinton.
Mother Teresa, Hillary Clinton, and Laura Bush. What do these three things have in common? Wow, Gallup poll. Only one U.S. state currently has more than one African-American judge sitting on state Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Which state is it?
Has more than one?
Only one U.S. state currently has more than one African-American judge on its state
New
Supreme
York.
Court. It is not New York.
It's not New Jersey.
It's not Jersey.
Is it a southern state?
It is a southern state.
Really?
Alabama? North,
South Carolina.
It is not Alabama or
Georgia.
South Carolina.
Mississippi.
It's not Georgia. It's not Mississippi.
Louisiana,
Florida.
Texas.
Tennessee.
It is this great state of Florida.
Florida.
We're
Justice
getting there.
Peggy Quince and James E.C. Perry sit on the Florida State Supreme Court. All right. Super Bowl 22 was played at Jack Murphy Stadium in San Diego, 31 of January, 1988. Who were the headline performers at that halftime show?
Bruce Springsteen.
Wasn't Springsteen.
Oh, it's Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston?
Nope.
No. Who was Big Bang then?
1988. It wasn't New Kids on the Block.
It is, I best could describe it to you is for 1988, it was rather anachronistic.
U2?
Nope.
The Clash.
Oh, Sha Na Na.
Nope. But you're getting closer with Sha Na Na.
Stray Cats, that's too long.
No. What do you think of Dan?
The set piece performance. We'll let Dan see if he can utter something here.
No. Come on, quit marinating. Come up with it.
The Beach Boys. Man.
This person was accompanied by, are you ready?
No.
The Rockettes, the San Diego State University Marching Aztecs, the USC Marching Band, and 88 grand pianos.
Liberace.
Neil Dunn.
Elton
John?
Nope, it was
Tony Basil.
Chubby Checker.
Wow.
The theme was Something Grand.
How exciting.
And with that, wow. I'm going to leave everybody to go back home and think of something grand on their own time. Oh, Professor Oljar.
Bye.
Professor Maggio.
I'm stunned.
Professor Hitchell.
Goodbye.
Professor Roach.
We'll see you next halftime.
Manica.
Au revoir.
Professor Tubbs.
Bye.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
And now these words.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, the chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here, as always. Right. On his right, from the Department of Theater and Performing Arts, Professor Arthur Beer. It's been a long 3 weeks. And on Arthur's right, from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and the Director of the Learning Center, Kathy Bush.
I'm too tired to say hello.
I know, it's one of those months. Anyway, and on my left, from the Department of History, the chair of that department, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Why, Evan, you must have whose car is in the way. I just want to get out, but I can't because there's that car in my way.
It's Rosalind Carter.
I've been trying to back up.
She's been hitting my car.
As the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education's hottest room at the University of Detroit Mercy, in the McNichols campus, of course. As the Professor is produced by Adam Winbegler, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mile.